On? That's on, yeah. That was our signal. You guys are all quiet, ready to go, I think. The whole class is right there, so I'll just have you sit there and read that, and you got the class. But no, we're going to, I think, as I've tried to do before, because just for time's sake, I've put all the notes up there for us to refer to for our class this morning. Hope that works okay for you, and we're actually, the goal is to start here and then get to those 10 points and then come back to this. I think these passages here on the left are really key to our class this morning. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 3, as you can see up here, we've got a lot of verses for reference. We won't have time to read all of these. So I've got them up there as long as you can read my writing. If not, just ask me a question. I'll let you know for you to do some further study, which in this particular class, as you're going to see, very important that we do a lot of our own individual study in regards to this particular lesson. Last week, Barney started us off with our evangelism class. The elders are leading. And we're going to, between Barney and Scott and myself, going to take turns with the lessons. Of course, last week he talked about evangelism in the early church. And we're going to focus on God's plan this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, you can kind of see is our key verse for our entire lesson this morning. Of course, leading up to that verse, and I would encourage you to read the 10 verses of chapter 3 leading up to that, of course, talking about the gospel. But in verse 11, he says, "This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord." Or another version, I think, his purpose that he accomplished in Jesus. So that's what we're going to focus on today, is that particular plan this morning. But before we get started, good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. So glad that you're here with us this morning for our lesson. You're such an encouragement. I think I've said this before, but I wish each of you could just take a turn standing up here and looking at all the faces. Of course, I think most of you from your position can kind of, unless you're on the front row without turning around, see everybody here. But what an encouragement you all are. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Before we get started with the lesson, prayer request, of course, to Hannah's with Barry starting up his chemo, I believe, June 20th, if I remember that date right. And of course, Cindy and Brian and Becky, their daughter, and Becky's husband, Aaron, continue to remember. As far as I know, right now, Bonnie Cole is still in the hospital, and of course the family with her. So Bonnie as well, and we rejoice. I think it was mentioned Wednesday night, Mackenzie and Sawyer. I'd say little baby boy, but I think it'd be better described as big baby boy. Peter Raines Murphy. So we rejoice with that family. Other prayer requests that you would like for us to include this morning? Brother Looney? Okay. Yes. Of course, that time of year, we're going to have a lot of sessions going on this summer at the Bible camps. Very thankful for that. I know our family, we're very blessed with those. Yes, Julie? Okay. Any others? Okay, let's all bow our heads together as we pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another beautiful day of your creation, another day of this abundant life that you have blessed us in Christ, and another day to look forward to the hope of life eternal with you that we have. Father, help us to put all those things of the world in perspective. Of course, in perspective to you, Father, and to what you've done for us and your perfect love. Help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Father, please forgive us of our sins. Help us to forgive others as you forgive us. Thank you so much for your love for us, not only in creating the universe and creating us in your image, but and sending your only Son to die for our sins, we may have the forgiveness of sins through him. What a blessing, Father. What a great, great truth. And help us to spread that wonderful news with others. Father, we ask that you be with our brother Barry as he begins treatment soon for his cancer. Give him strength, Father. Be with he and Cindy and Brian, and their daughter Becky and Becky's husband Aaron, that family as they go through this time. Help us to be mindful of any way that we can help. And of course, most of all, Father, in our prayers, that we know we can offer up to you every day on their behalf. Father, also Bonnie Cole as well, and Carrie and Sandy and their family during this time for them. Give them strength and comfort. And we rejoice with the Murphy family, Sawyer and McKenzie and their entire family, and the birth of their boy, Peter. Please bless them during this time in their lives. Father, we ask also, be with Brother Looney, be with his family as they travel for the reunion, and also be with his kids. Love them as only you know how, Father, and help Brother Looney as he is a father to them. Help us all, Father, as parents to be the fathers and mothers that our kids deserve, and do it to the best of our ability with your love. Father, we ask that you be with Aaron's wife, Sydney, and her upcoming wife, or his fiancée at this time. It's Aaron and Sydney are about to be married, but we ask that you, especially at this time, be with Sydney with her new job, be with them as they're going to be married soon, and bless their lives together. Father, be with Julie's grandkids as they start Happy Hollow session, and be with all our kids that are going to camps this summer. Please bless those times together. Help them to grow closer to you. Be with all of those counselors and all those planning those camps. Give them strength, the wisdom that they need. Father, be with us now during this class. Thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you so much for the truth. Help us, Father, to learn more and more of your will for us, more and more about you, and how you want us to live our lives, and of course your great plan for this life to be the best that it can, because you are the author of life, Father. And help us to share that wonderful news with others. And we look forward to our home in heaven with you for eternity. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. What are some of the questions of life? So to speak. You know, when people, you may be in a discussion with somebody, or you're just hearing somebody talk about all the things going on in our lives and around us, what are the so-called questions of life? Pardon? Why are we here? What else? Ron?
What can we do about it?
And what can we do about it? Julie?
Personally, I think your life is why does God allow that thing to happen?
to good, to good people? Why does God allow bad things to happen and happen to good people? And we experience that. We've all experienced that, haven't we? Especially when it comes to sickness and health and death. That's always been one of those questions. Any others? What were you thinking? Where are we going? Okay, you guys did good. Yeah, Chris? Why can't we live in peace? Good. As you think about all those questions that you just shared, which are covers most of them, I think. We could probably keep going on a little bit, but you definitely covered it well. Isn't it a wonderful blessing that we know the answer to all of those, or the answers found in God and His plan? The verse that we read a little bit ago, His eternal plan that He realized or accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn to John chapter 6. Excuse me. If you've been following our daily Bible reading that we're doing together, and have had time to start it off this morning with our Bible reading today, John chapter 6, 60 through into the chapter 71, so what is that, 12? The last 12 verses of John chapter 6 was our reading for today. And one of the verses that stand out to us from that we're familiar with would be verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. What a wonderful, wonderful truth, and that's the answer to all those questions we just presented, isn't it? And it's also the answer that we all in this room know, and how important that is that we all share that with those around us. And I think I can say this in about 100% confidence, that each of us sitting here individually, there is someone outside this room that only I or only you have the opportunity to reach. And that's kind of a scary thought in some ways. We all have the responsibility to share the gospel, share the wonderful news. I think often we think that's for someone else to do. As we go through this class, we're going to be presenting lessons that talk about the different works or ministries of the church and how all of them can be and should be tied to evangelism, tied to anything that we do. We should be able to connect sharing the wonderful news with somebody in that way. So if you're sitting there, and I think we've all done this, thinking, well, I'm not sure if I can do that, especially in regards to this particular person. I think we're going to see as we go through this class, the different ministries that Watermill has, there's going to be some area that you can work in that you will be able to do that better. Not to get into some of the other guys' class coming up, but for example, when we have an activity that we're hosting, just simply inviting someone, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I know yesterday several of you got together and had a work day. I know we didn't advertise that as bring a friend and had put them to work that weren't tied to that, but that would just be one example of having someone come in and just share with them some things we do at Watermill. But there's going to be some ways that you can see your role, your responsibility, a way that you can work in the congregation, which many of you do already. We just hope in the coming weeks and months we're able to share that even better with everybody. So if you're one that's kind of looking for a place to fit in or to work, to be able to share the wonderful news with somebody, we hope to give you opportunities to see that you can. But each one of us individually know somebody, or we see somebody during the day on a regular basis, whether it be a friend, family, or an acquaintance, that only I or only you can have the opportunity to reach out to. So I want us to keep that in mind. I've seen an example before, a recommendation of writing 10 names down on a card and putting it in your Bible, for example, which you can easily do. At least one name, for sure. I know where Quita and I live, we have neighbors. So, you know, we interact with those neighbors on a pretty regular basis. So those would be ones that we can reach out to. And as you can too. So think of, and I would encourage us to think of specific names, and not only have them maybe written on a card in your Bible, but pray for on a daily basis. I think too often we miss opportunities, we miss open doors, and I think we've all done this, where we look back on a situation and say, "Boy, I missed that opportunity. They said this, and I could have said this, and I didn't." So I think if we put that in our prayer life, we're going to be more prepared when those opportunities come up to say the right thing. And one of the things, of course, we're going to talk about here in a few minutes is our mindset and our preparedness to do just that. So with that in mind, then, there's a few verses here before we get to God's plan that I do want us to read the scripture for. Let's begin with 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think these first verses here on the left will be the ones we will definitely read. I'm not sure we'll have time. The other ones are references to those 10 points. So those might be ones I'm going to leave for you. And I think you'll have time to flip to them through the class as we talk a little bit about those. But I definitely want us to begin and end with these four points on the left. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Of course, Paul writing to the Corinthians, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Of course, the perspective of that verse is not saying we're nothing for not being able to plant and water, but in reference and respect to God who gives the growth, we are. But we need to understand it starts, of course, with knowing that God gives the growth. I wonder sometimes when we have an opportunity to know our responsibility in planting and watering, we maybe lose sight of that. We need to begin with that point, that God gives the growth. So when we're planting and watering, yes, that is our responsibility to do that. But it's God gives is the one that gives the growth. And kind of in respect to that, I don't have this verse up here, but you know, you're familiar with, of course, the parable of the seed. I know one of the things I think I personally struggle with myself is as I think about the parable of the seed and I think about the types of soil. Now, the soil is all those people out there and the situation, their mindset, you know, from those who don't even pay attention to it to those who allow the worries of the world to choke it out to, of course, our main goal for all of us to produce fruit. But I think myself personally, I struggle with judging the type of soil. That's not my place at all. In other words, I may meet somebody and I may already have in my mind, oh, they're in this type of soil. That is definitely wrong on my part. Okay, it's my responsibility just simply to plant and water, not to look at someone that I should be loving more and thinking in terms of God's going to give the growth and my responsibility in planting and watering and not just selecting what soil they are. That's not my place at all to judge what kind of soil they are. That's the receiver, that's their responsibility of the type of soil. Now, as I plant and water, of course, in the basic fundamentals of gardening and the fruit that we want to produce, the planting and watering is, of course, going to help the soil, isn't it? Because when we plant, it's not just about putting the seed in. It's helping the soil take the seed and then watering that to help provide the opportunity for growth, which God's going to give. But God's going to work in the hearts of those people as he does that. I'm just a plant and water. Yeah, Eddie?
Well, I think the first of what you said is also true. There's a warning to us to not beat ourselves over someone not accepting what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Can't just think, well, it was my fault that they didn't know. That's not. I think
I think so. It's interesting you said that, because if you go back to that passage we just read in John chapter 6, right before then, Jesus said, or of course Jesus, if you read the context before that, and then leading up to verse 66 in John 6, is after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. In other words, they heard some of the truth Jesus was telling them, and they couldn't deal with that. They didn't want to, but not my place to say. I think I struggle with that, saying, oh, they just don't want to listen. Well, maybe not, but I need to still do my best to plant and water. That is a reality. There are those, of course, we know wide's the gate that leads to destruction, and many are going to take that. But I think where I struggle sometimes is already deciding, oh, they're part of that many going to the wide gate. That's not, in fact, it's actually sinful on my part to even be thinking that. I think that's an easy excuse for me, maybe, not to continue to try to continue to plant in water and allow God to give the growth. And of course, as we're about to look at some other passages, the love and grace that goes with that. When we truly focus on God giving the growth and what we're about to look at next with the holiness of Christ and the love and the grace, and that's going to put that all in perspective, and that's going to help each of us to look at it in the way that God intended for us to look at it. So that takes us then next to 1 Peter chapter 3. Another verse that we're familiar with, but in this context, First Peter chapter 3, verses 15, and we'll just go with the first part of 16. We're all familiar with the part of this passage about be prepared to make an offense. But I think what's so interesting, we need to look at the first part of that verse in 15. Sorry, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy. I want to really emphasize that, because that is the foundation for the rest of that verse. In our hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I think, again, with the idea of once we recognize God gives the growth, that's going to put our planting and watering in a whole different perspective than if we're just focused on planting and watering. And same is true for giving a defense for the hope that is in us with gentleness and respect. That's going to be a whole other thing when we regard that in light of, in our hearts, considering Christ the Lord to be holy. If we start with Christ the Lord being holy, then offering the defense and doing it with gentleness and respect will be a whole different mindset, won't it? I think too often we focus on, let's always be prepared to make defense. So we're all, I don't know about you all, but then I'm worried about, am I saying the right thing, the right time, do I know it well enough? I think that's an excuse we use sometimes not to talk with somebody we think, oh, they're wanting to ask about this, they're going down this road, and I'm just not comfortable or prepared enough to really answer that question. But if we begin with, in our hearts, Christ the Lord is holy, then as we get ourselves ready to prepare to make a defense, and as we do it with gentleness and respect, then we're going to be able to do that much more effectively and, of course, in the way God would have us to. And then turn to Ephesians 4 and 15. Ephesians 4 and 15. Of course, this follows. I want to emphasize here, when we study, and when you go back and look at maybe some of these verses, anytime you study a verse, always do it within the context of that particular verse. And this one, just like so many others, is so much more powerful when you think of it in the context of the passage that it's in. There is one body, and begin verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So I want to kind of put that in the back of your mind, because we're going to come back to grace in here just a little bit. But that, this next verse then, in light of that, go down to verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So speaking the truth in love, I think that's another passage that we're often familiar with, speaking the truth in love. But are we always thinking about that phrase in respect to the seven ones and with respect to what follows that right after, so that we can grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ? So again, when we think of speaking the truth in love, within those two bookends, in respect to that, then that's going to help us a whole lot more in respect to sharing the gospel with someone else, sharing the good news with somebody. And then grace. At some point, of course, one of the disadvantages to putting all your notes up to begin with, you can't have as many questions because the answers might be up on the board already. But one of the questions I had in mind to ask you, and of course two of the main answers are up here, but let me just go ahead and ask it anyway. What amazes you about God? Of course, we'll start off with love and grace. When I think about God and I think of His love and His grace, it really kind of blows me away. It's almost too much to even comprehend when we think. And of course, Scripture kind of tells us that, doesn't it, in terms of just how wonderful His love is. I mean, in our human mind, trying to grasp that idea of God's love and how perfect it is, a God that would create this whole universe for us, that would make us in His image, and then even more than all of that, to send His only Son to die for our sins. How do we grasp that? Well, we try in a lifetime, once we start that journey, to grasp it, but we won't ever truly grasp it until that day. We just won't, in our human mind of thinking, it's just hard to, but we have His Word to help us more and more and more to understand just what that is. Ron? Yeah. Yeah. When we truly stop and think, I know about your prayers, but of course we often, especially prayer leaders, often say, forgive, I think I just did it this morning, forgive us of our sins. But in our individual prayer life, when we truly think about my sins, what Ron was saying is exactly right. I went to Oklahoma Christian, and we had chapel. Chapel is required every day. And I guess, sad to say, I remember one chapel. I mean, every chapel, of course, you had singing, reading scriptures, someone would speak, and sometimes they would have special chapels. But one, I can look back, and it stood out in my mind. And what they did that morning, they showed a video, and I don't know if you've seen this. I don't think I've seen it since. where all they did was show that, a short video clip, and you could have heard a pin drop after the video was done as we walked out. And for what it, well, probably for the obvious reasons, it stood out to me and it just has stuck with me since then. It's been a while back, but started out, showed a father and a son. I'd say the son was probably, I'm guessing 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there, age-wise. And it just shows them together. And bear with me, because as I'm talking about this and remembering it, it just does bring that emotion to me. But they're gardening together, they're playing together, and then it kind of shows that the father, it looks like his job is is to change the train tracks on a train. And so one day he's getting ready to do that, and his little boy starts running across the bridge on the train tracks. And he sees his little boy, and he's there getting ready, and he's got to make a decision. Does he change it? There's something about the way the train is. It's either going to save all the people or save his son. And it's kind of flashing back to the people who on the train don't have any idea what's going on. And he has to decide to change the tracks to save the people or to change it to save the little boy. Of course, they don't show it. It's not graphic by any means, but it's obvious from what happens. He chooses the people who are kind of oblivious to what's going on over his little boy. And that, of course, obviously, the point of the video was to try in some way to show us what God did for us by giving his only son. And that, of course, is, as you can tell, has stuck with me ever since. But to think of a God with that kind of love to give his only son for us. What else amazes you about God? I'll probably stop with there with the answer to the question, because I know Bill has mentioned a lot of times with that verse in Exodus 34 that he did with the youth, the love, God steadfast love and his mercy and his grace and his patience. Those are all qualities, and we could continue to make all the list all the qualities of God. It's just amazing that we have a God like that, a God that's our Father like that, the God of all the universe, and the God that has promised us eternal life. So with that in mind, then, I want us to think about the plan that he has given from eternity according to the eternal purpose for all time. He knew, and that's another thing in our human mind that we can't grasp, that God has existed forever, that he will exist forever. But then he's offered us the opportunity to exist with him, not only in this life, but forever with him. And when we think of it like that, why do we struggle with telling someone else about that? And as you can tell, if you read my writing, the 10 points, and these come, Dr. Stafford North has kind of presented these, and I've heard it said once, and it's probably a good exercise all of us could do, is could you write in less than 100 words God's plan, God's story for us? And I think if you were to count, I think I did that the other day, and I think it was about 60 or so words, if you were to summarize this plan up here. So yes, we can simplify it and share it with somebody, but as we all know, everyone that we meet, everyone that we might have the opportunity to share the gospel with, has a life story. And whatever point that you are with them in your relationship or your acquaintance with them, they're going to be at a certain point that you've got to figure out, how can I begin with this person, telling them about the wonderful news, telling them about this God that we've just been talking about and his plan for us through Christ. And we could easily spend a lot of class time if we had time. See how little. Yeah, I need to move on. If we had time, we would talk about some of those challenges. What are some of the fears that we have, some of the concerns we have of where to start? And while Dr. North spends an entire chapter in his book of Evangelizing Your Community just on these 10 points, we know there's all kinds of methods, all kinds of ways to share the gospel with someone. And I think, the reason why so many people have come up with so many ways to do that is they want to put tools in our hands to help us do just that. And it's okay if you pick one of those. This is a good one too, just to take these 10 points. And you see I've got scripture references to go with each one to help us with that. And we're going to have a few minutes to go, so I'm going to kind of go through those, and they're all familiar with you, and we could probably spend a class on each one, as you can see, as we do that. But I do want us to have in our mind, what is that plan that God has for us? And I could give you a copy, let me know if you want, of these 10. What Dr. North went ahead to do in this particular one is he put little illustrations, which I might have time at the end just to put them up there to help you with. As you meet with somebody, everyone's a different type of learner as well. So there's just all different kinds of ways to teach somebody. But our focus today is on this particular plan. And, of course, God and people, it begins with God and people are in fellowship with Him. Let's see, did I write that down? Yeah. God and man are simply in fellowship together, which is hard for, I need to be careful not to comment on every one or we won't get through them. So let me go through them and then we'll see how much time we have left. Then God gave us the power to choose. Okay. And then, of course, all have chosen to sin. Begin with Adam and Eve, with us. We've all chosen to sin. And when you think about this plan, keep in mind God had this plan for all time. He knew this is what was going to happen, and He was prepared for it. And then our sins separate us from God. And then God must punish, but He wants to forgive. Again, going back to His love and grace. Because of His nature and sin, He has to punish. That's who God is. But He wants to forgive because of His love for us. And then He sent Jesus to die as a sinner. Perfect sacrifice, of course. No sin, but He was willing to give His Son in our stead for that. And then we have a choice still. I have up here, we must choose Jesus, but it's still a choice, isn't it? But if we want to have that relationship with God, we must choose Jesus. I think that's probably the point of biggest disconnect with the religious, what I'll call the religious world, all the different beliefs. Then how do you do that? If we choose Jesus, how do you do that? Well, of course, we know from God's Word, we demonstrate that by our faith and obedience. You have to choose them to get back in that relationship with God. And how do you do that? Of course, according to God's Word. And we know from God's Word, now you can kind of see how each one of these would be a class in itself, wouldn't it? By faith and obedience. And then when we do that, or if we choose to do that, He takes away our sin and restores us fellowship with Him. What a wonderful truth that is, isn't it? And that's why we're here this morning, or one of the reasons we're here this morning. After that, He puts us into Christ. When we choose Him, takes away our sins, restores us in fellowship with Him, and then puts us in Christ. So that's what we all have in common this morning, those of us who have made that decision to do that. And that, in summary, and simplify, which we know God wants to make it simple for us, and He has, those words. Dr. North's got them divided up into 10 points, but those words combined is God's eternal purpose. I know that was the first bell. I don't know if I can get these up here real quick. His illustrations with the first one, he has, of course, capital G representing God with a happy face, representing the fellowship. And then we have choice to choose, which is kind of a question mark with a face. And then we have choice to choose sin, or we all have chosen to sin. And then the separation, of course, puts the sin between God and us, which he uses the sad faces, happy faces, and then P or F representing he must punish, but he wants to forgive. And then, of course, he sent his son to be that sinner in our stead. And then the arrow pointing to the cross, must choose Jesus. And then, of course, F plus O for faith and obedience. And then when that happens, up here I'll put, since that's the only space I have to write, we are back in fellowship with God. Oh, which, of course, happy face, because he is forgiven our sins, and then he's got a happy face inside of a big C, which represents the Christ, of course. And that, I just put that in to show, that's just an illustration he has with those, for those of you that might be have someone that is better visual, to kind of help them maybe see. Obviously, I think in general terms, you want someone to read the verses and see for themselves. They're going to have to see the truth for themselves, and we have to have, of course, the love and the grace and recognize God's growth and Christ's holiness as we do that. As we come back to these 4 points that we had, I wanted to kind of end on that before the bell. Remember, God gives the growth. Remember, we can be prepared to have defense, especially in light of the holiness of Christ. And then, of course, speaking the truth in love. Oh, we didn't read that last one, did we? Turn to Colossians 4:6. We'll close on that because I know the other bell's going to get us about that time. Another passage we're familiar with. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So that's where grace comes in. If we can think about God's grace, we want to be more like God. And I know that sometimes is a struggle too, especially depending on the person and the situation you're talking with. We've really got to stay focused on this foundation as we talk with anybody about God's truth and His wonderful news of sending His only Son for our sins. So next week, Scott's up, and he is going to talk as we get into the different ministries and areas where we can tie evangelism into all our different works. He's going to talk about public information. In other words, how do we, I think one of the key verses, enjoying the favor of all the people, how do we as a body of the church, the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, how do we evangelize? And in terms of public information, he's going to get into then, how does the community see us? So that's what we're going to get into next week. Let's close with a short prayer, and then we'll get ready for our worship time together. Thank you again for everybody being here this morning. Our Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this class time. Be with us now as we go to our worship time. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you, to remember your Son, to encourage one another. What a wonderful encouragement each of my brothers and sisters are to me, that we are to each other. Help us, Father, to continue to grow and for others to see Christ in us. Thank you for our time this morning as we studied a little bit about your plan, your eternal plan, and sharing the wonderful news with others. Help us to remember your love and your grace that you give the growth, the holiness of Jesus Christ our Lord as we prepare ourselves for sharing that news. Please forgive us of our sins. Help us to forgive others as you forgive us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.